yesterday was Saturday, of course, and man, Saturdays are rough at our house. You know, we've been talking about the Israelites being delivered out of Egypt from their taskmasters. And we have one of those at our house, and I said to her, I said, haven't you read the Old Testament? You rest on the Sabbath. It's the seventh day of the week. She said, yeah, but this is the New Testament. Oh, anyway, let me just give you some thoughts through our seniors in what we were talking about with Moses. And we're not going to have time to read the text this morning, so I'm just going to give you some thoughts from the text. Moses has been out in the wilderness for 40 years shepherding someone else's sheep. He had really traveled far and wide down the economic chain from being prince of Egypt to being a shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep. So literally he owned nothing. And God was working in his life during this time, in those 40 years, though. And he went way across the desert, away from Midian, where he was living with his wife Zipporah and their two sons and his father-in-law Jethro. And he saw this bush, and it was burning, and he was curious, and because the bush wasn't burning, but it was on fire. And so that attracted his attention. And there, of course, was a theophany, which means that God was there. His presence was there, and he was speaking to Moses. And the reason he was speaking to him, I mean, if you've seen the Ten Commandments, you know a lot of the story somewhat. And so God says, I want you to go back, and I want you to deliver my people. In fact, in Exodus chapter 4 is the first time that God refers to his people as his son. And so Moses has a dialogue with God about this. And he's kind of wondering how it's going to work out, and you know how we're going to do this, and you know, and it's really big stuff, and rightfully so in Moses' mind, because he's just been shepherding sheep, and now God's calling him to go to Egypt and go front and center to the king of Egypt and say, God says, let my people go. It's not an easy task. It's a big task. And of course, the entire economy of Egypt is dependent upon the Israelite slaves. Really, I'm just going to go in there and say, God said, let my people go, and everything's going to be nice. And Moses knows there's tremendous conflict in this. And so in his dialogue with God, as he moves along in chapter 4, Moses finally says, Lord, could you just get somebody else? Because the task seemed so over and above his pay grade and his profession, and he just didn't seem qualified. You know, Moses is like really all of us probably in many ways, because really and truly, this is a learn-as-you-go program in Christianity. I mean, if you knew way back when in your life what you know now, you know that you wouldn't have made a lot of mistakes that you made. You know that you wouldn't have made a lot of decisions that you made. And that's just the way it is in life. What Moses' problem was is he was looking at himself instead of looking at God. He was looking at how small he was when he should have been looking at how big God is. He should have been thinking, whatever God calls me to do, he will give me the equipment to do it. That's what he should have been thinking. But he's just like all of us. He's learning how to become a person of faith. And that's the way it works. The the thought I wanted for us to have, as particularly of our seniors, is there is a calling of God in your life. Every single Christian has a calling and a purpose. You say, well, how will I know that calling, you know, as a Christian? How will I know what God wants me to do? Well, you know, when I was 17 years old, I became a Christian, and then people started asking me to share my testimony. In fact, the very first invitation I got to go to a Baptist church, they said, when you show up, we're going to ask you to give your testimony. Wow. The very first, I didn't even get to sit in a pew, my first service. I'm up there on the podium, and I shared my testimony, and something interesting happened. I loved it. I went, boy, I really like to do this. This is great. I could do this all day long. And I found out that I was very good at it. I was effective, and I wasn't shy, and I wasn't afraid to be in public speaking and get in front of a lot. Well, why was all of that? Because God gave me certain gifts and talents and strengths. He gave me the equipment to fulfill the calling in my life. You say, well, yeah, but Brother Mike, you're a preacher, so it's so obvious when you're a preacher. You know, it's different. No, it's not. I'm telling you, God has given you the equipment. He has given you, young people, talents and gifts, and He's given you desires in your heart to be something, to do something. And that is a good barometer by which you might be able to measure what God has called you to do. What do you find yourself, do you find easy? I mean, you know, for some of us, math, we were terrible in math. God didn't call me to be an engineer. Oh, thank goodness. I was terrible at math. Well, God just didn't want me to go that direction. But you know what God did? One of the things He did give me a strength in is to think. I mean, if you're going to be a student of the Scripture and have the gift of teaching and teach God's people, you're going to need to think, because you're going to need to study the Word of God and ask why. How does this work? What does this mean? How does this apply to our lives? And you have to spend time thinking over that. God gave me that strength. God has given each one of you strengths. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents. And He's given you desires. Missionaries don't go over to Africa kicking and screaming in shackles all the way. You know why they go? They want to go. We have one right now, one of our young people who's in South Africa with the International Mission Board on the journeyman program. Nobody got her in a headlock. She was the one who decided that she wanted to go. So God will call us to big things in our lives. There's big stuff. You want to develop the skills and the talents that God has given you, which will enhance the gift that He has given you to fulfill the purpose, the commission, and the call in your life. So that means we need to be thinking about school or about what we're doing in work. And we need to think about things that are going to come down the road. We need to prepare, because the most important decision you made is when you became a Christian, and the second most important decision you're going to make is what? Who you get married to, right? That day's coming. It's big stuff, and you might feel at times, as every single spouse does, or a person who is considering that decision, it's bigger than me. What we must do is something that Moses didn't do. We must say that God is bigger than anything we'll face in our lives. And He will give us the equipment, He'll give us the talent, He'll give us the skills, He'll give us the strength that we need in order to fulfill the purpose that He has for us in our lives. Secondly, so God finally gets it through to Moses that He's going to go. And the Bible tells us that Moses goes back. He tells his father-in-law, Jethro. He doesn't tell him everything that happened, But he says, hey, I've got to go back and check on my family back in Egypt. And he's married to Zipporah and they have two boys. And what Moses really does is what everybody should do. When you change jobs, you should give your 2 weeks' notice. And that's what Moses is doing. He's been working for him for 40 years. Somebody else is going to have to take over his job. And so he goes and he tells Jethro, his father-in-law, that he needs his permission because he was under his authority to go and do this thing. And Jethro gave his blessings. So he and Zipporah and the two boys are on their way to Egypt, and something way out of the ordinary happens. And that's the way life is too. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean it's all smooth sailing. There are bumps in the road. We have to pay attention to those things. Well, I brought my New American Text, New American Standard today because it really translates the Hebrew much better. Because in the text, many of the texts like the NIV, they use the name Moses instead of the word him. Moses is not listed in this text, his name. God was going to kill, most probably, his son. One of his sons had been circumcised, the other hadn't. And Zipporah, his wife, circumcises the son, and then God lets his son go. You say, what was that all about? Well, here's the deal. In Genesis chapter 17, God said the symbol for being an Old Testament believer was circumcision on the eighth day. Every male needed to be circumcised on the eighth day. Why? What was that all about? God was saying this. By faith, the Israelite believed that through the seed of Abraham, God was going to send a deliverer for them someday. And so this was their sign of faith, that they believed what God had said, and they became a part of the covenant. They became an Old Testament believer. Well, one, for some reason, we don't know. I don't know if it was marital conflict or whatever, but Moses' son, one of them hadn't been circumcised, and God was not going to let him go down to Egypt. Why? Because how was God going to lead Moses to lead all the people to do what God said and keep all of his promises when Moses hadn't done that himself? You know, in the Christian life, it's not just the big stuff. It's the little stuff. The little things that we have to pay attention to. You know what happens when a lot of kids go off to college or they leave, they graduate from high school, they quit going to church. Now, to be honest, they do come back. Many of them come back. You know when they come back? After they get married and they have children. They do. That's when they come back. Because they need help. They need lots of help. And you see, you don't want that to happen to you. Oh, it's good that they come back. But you know what would be better? To never leave in the first place. It's so important to pay attention to the little things, like being participating and being involved in church on a weekly, a regular basis. And listening to the Word of God and being in fellowship with God's people. God is the one who designed this plan. The disciples didn't say, oh, you know what would be a good idea if we had church? No, the Lord Jesus Christ established the church. And he means for you and for all of us to be a part of it. I heard someone tell me just recently, you know, I skipped a Sunday. I'd been going to church, and then they told me they'd skipped a Sunday, and before long, they'd skipped two Sundays, and then they just kept skipping them. And they said, before long, we realized we weren't even going to church anymore. It'd been a couple years. You don't want that to happen to you. You want to pay attention to the little things. And the little things, according to Exodus chapter 4, apparently are important to God. The little things. The big stuff, little stuff. But there's a benefit. There's a great benefit to listening to the Lord and following him and obeying him. The Bible says that after the experience of the circumcision and Zipporah, the boys went back home to Jethro. We won't pick up with them again until Exodus 18. But God says to Moses that I've already told Aaron about what's happening and told him to come and meet you. And they met each other on Mount Sinai. They hadn't seen each other in 40 years. You know what one of the great benefits of following the Lord is? Someday we are going to die and we are going to go to heaven. And there is going to be a great reunion there. And I'll tell you, you're not only going to just see your mom and dad in the Lord and your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're not going to just see them. I'll tell you somebody else you're going to see. The Bible says, fourthly, not only are we going to have this reunion, but Moses and Aaron met and then they went to Egypt and they told the Israelites what God had said. And the Bible says at the end of chapter 4 that the Israelites, not just the elders, they believed, they fell down, and they worshiped. And I'm just saying to you, there's nothing better than sharing your faith with somebody else and seeing that person, leading that person to Christ. And someday, Jesus said, referred to this in the New Testament, he said, make sure you make a lot of friends on this side of heaven. This is what he's talking about. And when we get to heaven, there's a little girl that I'm praying for by the name of Lingam Petta. Somewhere among a billion people in India, Lingam Petta lives. I was supporting her through the Bridge of Hope with the Gospel of Asia. And then I got a letter one day from the Gospel of Asia, Gospel Asia Ministries, and they told me Lingam Petta, her parents moved away. We said, we don't have any control over this, so she can't come to the school anymore and hear about the Lord and learn how to read and write and do arithmetic. You know, I had the temptation, well, she's gone. I can't support her anymore. And no, I can. I can pray for her. And every day I pray, I say, God, you know where she is in the middle of a billion people. And you love that little girl. And I'm praying for her that she will come to know you if she hasn't already, and that you'll work in her life and protect her and take care of her, and you'll lead her. You'll put people around her that can lead her and her family. Someday, my hope is that I'll have a reunion in heaven with people like Lingam Petta. So I'm just saying to you, young people, pay attention to the big stuff. Pay attention to the little stuff. Because there are great benefits. We are going to have one heck of a reunion when we get to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning, even in the brief time that we had. Thank you that we are able to learn from somebody in the past, like Moses, so that we might learn how to live in the present. You have a big calling for each of our lives. Every single person here, Lord, help us to listen, to tune in, to be alert. But in the meantime, let us not neglect the little things. Because, Lord, you really want to bless us. But we need to follow you. We need to choose to submit to you and not neglect what you've commanded us to do and to be. So we are praying that you will help us so that someday, like Moses and Aaron, we might be able to help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.